just don't happen in plants. Just like plants don't move anywhere.
Yeah. And the idea that you could have orthogonal structures which exist inside for some organisms and outside for others is, I think, unique to the egg case.
And I think that's true also, yeah. And I, yeah. There, yeah. There are, you know, the one of the things that happens in embryology in the, at least in the mammals, maybe all the vertebrates, they have a sort of what they call gastrula and blastula stages.
Oh, yes.
And then the thing inverts. It's a sphere that inverts itself. And that does happen in some green algae, in these colonial green algae, the, like Volvox, that form spheres. And when they go through their embryological stage, they actually form a sphere that then invaginates and you know, reverses itself. And that, that would be a very ancient thing.
I'll look into that.
Okay, well, Buckets, do you think we should go ahead and start then, or?
Yeah.
I guess we've already kind of started.
Yeah, please go ahead. I'm just mute on my side.
Oh, okay. I just was waiting. I didn't know if you were on another call or something.
I don't know.
I don't know if Chris is coming or not, but so we don't have a ton of big things to talk about on the agenda. We wanted to just kind of get people together and have everybody kind of update us on what's going on at their end. And the latest news from here is we just finished getting our full release out. Justin's not on the call here, but we've been working really hard cleaning up a lot of problems in the database and getting things straightened away. And so that came out just about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe. So it's live on our live browser, and I encourage everybody to go and I'm not sharing my screen. Maybe I should share my screen. Go and explore it. We're kind of keeping a tally of, you know, anything that people find, you know, any problems you find, let me know, and we'll add it to our list of things that we've got to fix for the next round. So we've sent out some notices and summary of all the ontologies that are on there and the terms and the data. This actually has four species-specific trait ontologies on there. So the wheat is the latest one that we've added. And we have rice, lentil, and cassava, which were in part of our soft release that we did earlier. And wheat is our new one, yeah. So all these have been mapped to the trait terms in the trait ontology. The trait terms in those ontologies have been mapped to the trait ontology terms. And we have a large number of functional GO annotations for about 62 species, which are new in there. So if people want to explore it, or if anyone have any questions about the release, or...
So I don't have a question. I have a... I do have a question. can you create some kind of visualization of how the... four crop ontologies you just mentioned relate to the trait ontology, and how all of those in turn relate to the plant ontology and its two axes, so that there is somewhere where we can send people who ask questions about what the work is that we're doing who are not experts.
Right. You and I had been kind of talking about this figure, and so you think something along the same lines as that diagram that we had before, or?
Yeah, I think that at the moment, the Plantium website is not exciting. It's not the place where you can send people and say, look, see what the work is that we're doing. It's directed towards experts. It's not directed towards people who may be curious.
I sort of have to agree with you on that.
Well said.
Yeah.
So I've asked Justin Elser to give me a different theme so that we can make it more appealing. Instead of just a Google style bare minimal thing.
Yeah.
And
so I think a picture of the ontology tree as it now exists, right. Even with links from each of the nodes in the tree to the actual ontology pages would be a big help.
And I was at the Godan meeting about a week ago in New York City, and I was talking to various folks about ontologies to be integrated in open data initiatives of different governments, because they're collecting data right from, not from genomics and genetics perspective, but from social behavior to any kind of thing that you can imagine governments use for making policy decisions. And there are a lot of funding institutions. There are a lot of policy suggestion institutions, like Brookings Institute, and there were quite a few of the national governments as well. And everybody wants open data, but how do you organize and annotate that data for better decision making and actually finding the data? I think we were discussing more about ontology. So people were not aware of what an ontology is.
Yeah.
If we can come up with some very basic level ontology video and then use the similar one to, same one to extend a little bit more on, about what Plantium is doing, I think that would be very helpful to have it right on the front of the, on the website. Because many of the top brasses in the USDA and NSF generally don't know anything about it.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think we have, you know, we have something that we could pull from different, we've had a number of kind of basic presentations that we could probably pull from, make it kind of,
yeah.
You were thinking maybe a video, Pankaj?
Let's first make a PowerPoint and then we can recreate a video in a presentation style. Every time what I was hearing is, tell me about ontologies in English. In the hierarchy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, that goes into my head in 2 seconds.
Like layman's terms.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not a good idea.
And that, besides that, I think Barry, Murray, and I had a discussion with Matthew Lang yesterday.
Oh, yes.
He's organizing that food ontology
meeting.
I don't know, are you coming or not?
Oh, I didn't know about any meeting.
Oh,
then when is it?
It's in UC Davis, November 7th to 9th.
No, I'll be in England. I'll be at an ISO meeting. BFO is being considered by ISO to become an ISO standard.
What is ISO?
International Standards Organization.
Okay.
So every 6 months for the next 2 years, I have to be at the relevant ISO meeting, and this year it's on November the 8th.
Right. So, Murray and I will try to be there, and I think what we want to do is how Plantium ontologies can connect to some of the aspects of human food and food diet and nutrition and well-being.
Yeah. So I certainly want to be kept in touch with that work, but unfortunately I can't make that meeting.
Yeah, I'll keep you, because there are a lot of industry involvement and a lot of USDA involvement from the top down.
So another aspect of all of this, which may be relevant down the road, I have started with NIST an initiative called the Industry Ontology Foundry.
What does that mean?
It means that there are various ontology efforts within the industrial world. For instance, an industrial materials ontology, an industrial product lifecycle ontology, industrial fault ontology, which would be rather like the disease ontology, even industrial diagnosis ontology or diagnosing faults in equipment. So these ontologies exist, but there are many of each of them and they don't work together with each other. So it's the same old story. Mm-hmm. So they approached me to try and organize for the world of industry an ontology foundry analogous to the Oboe Foundry. And I'm already talking to leaders in the industrial standards world. And so the core will be product manufacturing, but there will eventually be an extension to other industries where they're not manufacturing. So agriculture obviously is going to be slightly different from product manufacturing, but many of the same issues will arise. And so my plan is to create the core of the industry ontology foundry for products, but then create an extension to deal with the agricultural industry.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I think the similarities are exactly the same. I don't know what the product is defined as, but product can be anything from coming from a plant itself and going all the way up to the processing part.
Yeah, yeah. So there are very many products, but the farmer is not producing a product. The Nestle is producing products on the basis of inputs that they get.
I think what you're talking about is a commodity.
Commodities and products, or supplies and products, or inputs and products, are in many cases two different things. Very often, products themselves serve as inputs to other processes of manufacturing new products. But I don't think that the corn that the farmer harvests is a product. It's a commodity, as you said.
No, I would not say it's. I agree. It's a commodity, but it's also a product. From it depends on product at what level of the chain you're talking about.
Anyway, when we get to working out how to extend the industry ontology foundry to the agricultural industry, I will put you in charge.
Oh, thank you. I think my goal is to go to that meeting to find out what are the requirements and how the industry is planning to chime in, because California is a big food bowl producer. Oh, yeah. For the country, yeah. and leads quite a bit. On the NSF side, when we were meeting, the presentation went very well. It was the very first session, and I think I triggered a lot of discussion. People were saying the fixed content of the ontologies is fine, but you are not always looking at the well-defined product. Many times people are generating high throughput phenotyping data sets and computational methods. Many of those things are not defined. They are still as mathematical expressions. And that based on this so-and-so formulae, I found this derivative, right? And that derivative can be evaluated or associated with the genetics and environment and epigenetics aspects as well. So, for example, some kind of a shape or some kind of a new trait, which they don't know what to call, but it is something has shown up in their PCA analysis. And so what we need to do is to prepare the trait ontologies, especially and PETO, to move in that direction to address the concerns. And because that is a big lobby at this point of time, and my gut feeling is that if we want to go for renewal, which we have been asked, so earlier, if you remember, they were telling us to 5 years, back down to 3, we'll do an evaluation and may consider giving you year 4 and 5 money. So now they're saying how the politics and the funds are working at NSF. Funding may be going down, but it's becoming more challenging. So they've suggested that start thinking about a renewal submission next year. So before we go in next fall, we need to think about how to have some proof of concepts ready, available, and we should have done some substantial working on it, because otherwise some of those people who would be probably reviewing would always go after it. Where's the machine learning and computational expression or mathematical expression thing? How are you going to address that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if human and animal folks have actually ventured into that area, but plants have a big benefit because they can work with hundreds and thousands of individuals from a defined population to do those kinds of studies.
So, Pankaj, do I have it on?
Mm-hmm.
I think we had a correspondence about that thing in Tucson in February.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you thinking about doing that too?
I may not go because that I teach at that time, but I think we should be there in full force. You are going there from the evolutionary perspective, I believe.
Yeah, I'll do that for sure.
And I'm asking Chris to be there to present Plantium in general and tell about some of the things we can. But there will be a big discussion about those kinds of things, and I think we should be able to say at that meeting that yes, we are working towards that goal, and we have reviewed a couple of papers, and we are technically positioned to address that concern and would be able to take care of those kinds of traits. I think in the next month or so, if we can start thinking and discussing about those things, that would be fantastic.
And then Ramona lives there.
Yeah.
Right. Ramona lives there, but Ramona is right now not doing that work, right? So work is being done in some maize groups and rabbit ops.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of doing one would be I think I was sending an email about it. So one would be your evolutionary and homology aspects. Another one is Plantium and phenopackets, which we can present about that. And my goal is to tell them how people can come and do in future or plan like a phenoblast, look and try to find the potential or predicted phenotype for your genotype would be kind of things, or accessions could be. And then we tell about how our annotation pipelines work. At least three of them. And it would be good to show that we have some of those traits passing through the TO and the CO. Especially for these, I think we have the first five, six crops, including maize now. Or maize would be coming in probably in a month time.
Yeah,
and we should start addressing some of those traits as we speak in the maize TO, maize CO. But I believe that many of those traits would be very species specific, because the methods are designed for that particular trait in a species. It may or may not work outside, but I believe if it is just a mathematical expression, and depending on how the data was collected, it can be applied in generic to all the other plants as well. But on the other hand, for example, people say, hey, there's a mathematical expression to find a new type of shape. But again, the first dimension, what you call shape, is already there defined, right? It's so far what I saw was more or less like a method associated and the observed value could be derived by mathematical expression. But the first dimension is always known because you know what you're looking for.
That's interesting. I get that.
Yeah,
and there's probably a finite number of those.
Yes. So people were complaining, and I was talking to Jane Silverthorne, who is the division director, and she was amazed to find that discussion going and say, what kind of machine learning? Even if you're doing PCA analysis, principal component analysis, you still have the two things on your two PCA axes, which you're comparing against, right?
Yep.
So at least you know, I think it's the method, but I think we need to counter, if it is true, we need to counter that lobby or that kind of researcher say, your first dimension is defined what you, because you know what you're looking for. But I may be wrong. So
yeah, it'd be good to get a couple of examples and look at them and see how we can work with
them. Maybe what I suggest, I agree, Lal, maybe we should invite Edgar Spalding to give a kind of a 15-20 minute presentation about kind of things, precision phenotyping things that he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like for a conference call or?
Yeah, in one of these Tuesday conference calls, we invite, he's, let's say, for the first 15-20 minutes, he comes and presents his work on high throughput phenotyping and precision phenotyping. He's a big voice
in
high throughput phenotyping. Yeah?
Yeah, no.
If that's true, if everybody agrees, then I may be able to send him an invite, let's say, for in 2 weeks or 3 weeks time.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think it's something to explore. There was a person that I had a conversation with in Corvallis. He was a medical pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Texas. I can't remember his name. And like he's at Texas A&M or I don't know, medical school there anyway, or Rice. But he was telling me about this whole thing too, that people are born with certain shapes built in. In other words, the ability to recognize certain shapes is not necessarily learned, but actually built in to you. And because then he was saying that's why sometimes when we, you know, use diagrams or line art, that people identify with those very rapidly because they're images that are already there. They're thinking in images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I found rather interesting because it means then that also isn't infinite.
Right. So, yeah. So if you all agree, then I may be able to find time and ask him to give us a 15-20 minute presentation.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
And I think we can continue that trend over the next 5 or 6 months so that we know what the needs of the community are. And then we plan accordingly for our resubmission or reposition the project, I would just say, at that point.
I was wondering, too, you know, to go back to Barry's opening comments, more or less, about, I've been thinking about it since then, but this whole thing about, so we develop, you know, an ontology and a vocabulary for scientists, but how then do we relate that to the real world? So in a certain sense, the real world has, even though they're not that accurate, they do have synonyms that go into our, quote, jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we ought to start picking up some of those.
Absolutely.
We actually have them in the banana ontology when we talk about things like cigar leaf.
Right. Well, in the PO, we have a lot of synonyms on, you know, that we've put in.
That's what I mean. Of those kinds, though, we tend to put in technical synonyms, but maybe we should put in some non-technical synonyms for that community.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. If there's terms that they're using, I mean, that's been a kind of a policy for a long time that we can.
Yeah. Because in everyday language, I mean, I grew up on a farm. I kind of know the way farmers talk.
And so when someone comes to search for something, they can use the terminology they're familiar with and find it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And find maybe out we should create exactly. A farmer slim. Or that maybe then many slims. We could have a hillbilly farmer slim and a California farmer.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Wow.
Now we are thinking.
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay.
Who wants to make the list of the hillbilly terms?
we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll find the hillbillies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, go ahead and if there is a registration or submission for abstract for your Cyverse or Phenome meeting.
Go ahead. I'm going to do that. I just pulled up the announcement. I'm going to do it today.
Would that be a talk or a present or like a poster?
I've got to see what they've got, but it would be a talk.
Yeah, I don't know, because I haven't seen any of the invitation for the talks yet.
Yeah, that's
okay.
I can.
Well, I mean, I'll go online there and try to figure it out.
Link to it.
Or I'll just write to him as a query.
Write to Ramona.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's the...
Yeah, this guy who is you are seeing here, he's doing root phenotypes.
Yeah.
Doing the CAT scans. So they can do the CAT scans for the whole plant, and resolution is about 10 microns. So they can go from outside of to inside of the cells in a very quick time.
Yeah, and that's those approaches now are becoming very, very common in Evo Devo land too.
Yeah,
to use the CT scans. It's just a very, very common thing at a very fine level.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I saw a guy did a nematode where they wanted to know all the internal structures, but the collection they had was only one of a particular species. It was a type. And mm-hmm. So they were able to do a dye thing and then use a CT scan and completely reconstruct the internal anatomy of this nematode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very good.
So for corn, for example, I was talking to my group as well, because they, based on, they treated the plants in different conditions like drought, phosphate, and elemental compound, and for the deficiencies. And they figured out by doing the X-ray tomography, CT scan, is that 40% of the roots actually had developed parenchyma under those conditions, and the root, different type of root numbers were up or down, and the lengths were down up. So they were trying to find new traits based on whether you want to put more number of roots or to survive, or you want to have longer roots. But on those longer roots, you want to have a greater density of root hairs, or you want to have less dense root hairs, but longer root hairs to reach out for phosphate absorption and things like that. So those are the kinds of traits that people are looking for. And they can go really inside and see how many number of roots actually have parenchyma. And then you can actually go inside the cell types and cell shapes and things like that as well. So that gives us a very different dynamics, and people are trying to find how many number of those roots actually have nodes on it, how the curvature is working, and is the curvature is following a certain pattern of that level. Uh-huh. And building models. So saying that if a particular type of soil is, plant is growing in a particular type of soil, what would be the kind of contours and curves you would observe in your root system in a very predictable way. So I think that the modeling community is going way, way ahead of anything what the genomics and genetics community is working on that. So they can predict the traits very easily and in a very consistent way. All we have to find out what triggers those traits.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where...
Names there, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
I think four or five ones were the high throughput phenotyping guys.
Yeah. It looks like the deadline for abstracts is the 1st of November, so about a month from now.
Yeah, we should try presenting it there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stop speaking, and I'm speaking too much, but feel free to go.
Well, no, it's fine. I think. Good. So this is the setup. So we got the timelines, we got the schedule. That's good. Okay. So I'm just going to do that from my side of what plasticity is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phenotype, genotype, plasticity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. Then, yeah. Okay. And, you know, it's a lot nicer in Tucson in February than it is in New York.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Or Buffalo. Is Barry still there?
Barry, I think so.
I'm still here. I'm just muted.
Yeah. It looks like George is speaking there too.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. It's good to keep that on our radar.
I'm on mute now.
Okay. So the other thing that we wanted to just talk about while we're on the call here is just let people know, you might have seen the email going around, but Marie Angelique is visiting here in Corvallis for the next 5 weeks. It's awesome to have her here. Yeah. So instead of talking on Skype, we can actually talk in person in the morning. And we had a meeting with Pankaj yesterday and talked about goals. And so she's kind of focusing right now on integrating the MAIS-CO vocabulary into, you know, map, do the mapping to trait ontology. And we talked about looking at some other traits, including from the Panzea project and this the underground root traits that we were talking about that Pankaj brought to our attention. So we just put some goals up there for the week or for the month that Marie's here. And I wanted to ask, Pankaj, do we need to be worrying about this annual report? We had an email about that while you were away.
Yes. I forgot to
put it on the agenda here. But what?
Yeah, we need to work on this.
The different people on this.
I think we know pretty much who's doing what, but if everybody can give me a paragraph about what was their actual contribution in the last 1 year, that would be great. And we also need, if you have, like Dennis, you have people working in your group, I need their full name.
Yeah, I'll fill all that out.
Full name, email, and
what they've been doing
and hours in general, hours per month. So it ran, Lol, have you shared any Google Doc with everybody to fill in?
No, because I don't have the template.
It's the same template from last year.
Oh, okay. So I'll get that and share that template with everyone.
Yes.
Okay.
And then and I need a paragraph about what their goals are and what they're trying to do so that I can quickly recreate the...
Then you can fill it in.
Yes.
Yeah, because you've got to do it online, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, that's the one from last year, so...
This is that government reports system, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which really, yeah, we won't comment on it.
And only then the program manager will review that for approving year three money. And by the way, our program manager, Carlos Vilhos, he is actually a modeler.
Interesting.
He comes from the modeling community, AgMIP. So he was very interested in seeing how Plantium transitions or builds connections to the modeling community, who's modeling traits and climate and all sorts of other things. So he wants to see that aspect in our ontologies and annotations.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. I think that's about all we have. Oh, I had another thing on here about the Scientific Advisory Board. I have a couple of things on the other items here.
I think we should do it.
We're still looking for that?
Yeah. It can be an online one to show the progress and then let the people figure that. I think we need to have one. We have Sandy from UK, Lynn from here, Sarah, is that the one? Which one is? There used to be a one person in Harvard or Yale. Dennis, do you know who's that person?
Yeah, she's moved to Canberra.
Sarah, yeah, I'm in contact with her, and I just spent a week with Sandy in Mexico last week.
Oh.
And in fact, she. Yeah, it's interesting.
And then Ruth Basto is fine. And then we need one more person from the U.S. There's nobody from the U.S. Oh, except for Lynn. Somebody from the plant community.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Who can that be?
To think about.
Especially people, it kind of depends on what you might be. What you might be thinking about, like whether it's a more molecular-based person or more organismic. You've already got organismic people with Sandy who have a handle on the molecular side.
Sarah, I would say somebody who's more on the genomics and GWAS side.
I'll tell you someone I think, if he would do it, that might be an interesting person.
Mm-hmm.
And he works, he's with the USDA at the University of Wisconsin. That's mm-hmm. David Spooner, who worked for years on potatoes and now on the carrot family stuff. And, you know, he's sort of a broad spectrum person, but with a basic genomic approach now.
That's fine. So my goal is to have, because these are also the people who are our voices for the funding agencies. So I think their report would be sent along with the various annual reports that would happen.
Yeah. And David would have a very good, has an excellent track record. And so he, you know, he would, it would be good for us if he would do it, I think,
mm-hmm.
from that perspective. So people are going to know him.
Okay.
So David Spooner is his name?
Yeah. S-P-O-O. I'll get some info and send it to you, Laurel.
Okay. That sounds good. I'll put it on.
I worked with him during my PhD as well.
Ah.
Don't you think he would be a good person?
Yeah. I think he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And if we want one more, Matthew Lang can come in as well, because he comes from an outside view. But he connects with the food, so it would be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Five, six people. And I think the idea should be is to have the people who can become our voice for those agencies.
Okay.
Put in some good words, but also challenge us to develop something new, directions, and help us guide. If we help, and it's their may basically they're recommending, they're not telling us what to do. Okay, so that should be the goal.
Yeah, it's advisory.
Yeah, yeah, and they are in essence they're also recommending the NSF or USDA in the US or in their own countries to tell that this is where it should be going in or why this group is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would say if we have the contact addresses, Lol and I can draft an email to them and invite. And if we can have a meeting, even online, that is fine.
Yeah, we probably at this point we probably have to
or do half that. A day meeting online either in November or December. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
And if you guys can go back, we have two more minutes. Tell more about what we discussed yesterday, and then we can close.
You wanna. Yes, so we discussed that. I will work on mapping the maize, but also the sweet potato. And once this is done, we will look at where the different map in the TO. And so we will try, by looking where the term mapped, we will try to enrich the TO and add new term in the TO. So at least all the crops, generic terms will be in TO, and then only the cross-specific term will stay in CO. And we also discuss about data annotation. So once we have the maize in, we will be able to annotate some breeders' data from CMIT, but also the green data that Austin is working on. So, yeah, and we will also start to work on the paper about the mapping and how we create the axiom, because basically what I do, I just create equivalence axiom for the CO term, and then since TO has also equivalent axiom, we can use a resonator to infer directly what are the which threat maps were in the TO tree. So yeah, this is what we discussed yesterday. Do you want to add something, Pankaj, or?
No, I think I'm fine. And so just to let know everybody that when the Murray is going to do the mappings from the Maze CO or TD into TO, she's going to include some of the traits that were recognized by the modeling community. That's an agreement so that those go as part of the Maze things and mapping work, and we don't and make it available through TD as well as through TO. Otherwise, it will be a more work, and then that will give us more handle on what kind of new things people are working on. Yeah. Right, and is Justin Elser on the call?
Yeah, I think so.
Justin. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh man, you're very quiet.
I didn't have anything to say.
I will have plenty of things for you to work on. So
okay.
Give me a call sometime.
Yeah, I was actually thinking we haven't talked in a while, and I was thinking about giving you a call.
Yes. I think first release is out. Congratulations to everybody, and thanks for helping out and doing a quick QC and things like that. It's a big achievement. Lots of data, so congratulations everyone for the hard work. And moving on, I think for the next release, we should plan on going back to our data sets and see which ones have been updated so that we can come back with a much better release in the next round kind of thing. So we should focus on our talk discussions on that side. Okay. All right.
Update the data sets.
Yes, and Austin, you want to tell something more about Samara?
There hasn't been too much happening on it.
Hey, wait a second. Does everybody know what a Samara is? So give them a short view and then...
Sure. Samara is the web scraping application that has been contracted out by Jorrit on GitHub. I'm not sure exactly how we found him, but he's been scraping Grin Global for... germplasm data, and also scraping APS, which is American Phytopathology Society, for disease, plant disease, common plant disease names, and the taxons that are associated with those diseases. And so I've been working with him and Chris to scrape the data off those websites and pull it down into usable format, CSV, or actually it's tab separated. File formats that we can use to automate the creation of new plant disease terms and also the automation of annotation to some of these germplasms that are stored in Grin. And so far he's done some really impressive work consolidating the different terms, different names for the traits, or different names for the diseases using like global name aligner and stuff. He's done some things that are way over my head, so I'm not even going to attempt to talk about him, but you can check it out on his GitHub, I think, which maybe we link in our GitHub. But it's very good stuff, and there should be plenty of germplasm that is available for pretty ready to annotate once we map some of the Grin traits to the TO. And that's part of what Maria will be helping with as well, is getting some of the missing traits from Grin's descriptors into the TO so that we can map directly to that.
So I would say that there's a multi-prong approach that I had a position for software developer, and it was hard for me to find any good one. So what we did was we contracted to Jorrit Pollen. He works out of Oakland, California, and I think he has worked previously with Encyclopedia of Life and other work with Chris Mungle. So that's how we identified him. So what we've done is, first thing is to help make the stress ontology robust. And the previous progress was manual and one by one on pulling the data out from APS, American Phytopathological Society work. Website on plant diseases, names, and causal organisms. It was a good work, but it takes a lot of time and undergraduate hours. So what we thought, that why don't we just scrape it and put it in a format that we can transform into an ontological framework. And that's what first part of Samara worked, and Austin is working on that, resolving, because that creates more data sets in terms of ontology terms, but is also telling us more about where the taxons are missing, especially for pathogens. So that's where the taxonomic name resolvers and finding new sources to go in. And if there are missing taxons in conventional sourced ontology taxonomies, then plan is to work with either NCBI or UBIO or Encyclopedia of Life to actually have those taxons integrated in there so that we have a stable link and external identifiers. A second part is scraping the data out of USDA's germplasm collection, which is for about 5,000 species worth and about 5,000 traits. I would say traits are not unique in that sense, because every species in their database has their own trait list, similar to crop ontology. The idea is to scrape that data so that we have full list of traits and their annotations. So Murray and Austin are trying to do is to clean up that trait descriptors and map them back to trait ontology, and so that we can transform that data into a GAF format so that eventually it will start showing up on Grameen. So this was not originally planned, but I think that the best collection of data that is en masse available is the GRIN data, and we've done that work after some useful trainings that Austin did on 3,000 rice genotype project, and got those phenotypes done as well. So that's, but on the, in the process, we will also find where we have deficiencies in trait ontology, because, and then the new traits would start flowing in. And that's the third bullet that you're seeing it over here, is enriching trait ontologies. Mm-hmm. From that perspective. But that this data is millions of data sets, I believe. So once done, I think goal is to go reach out to the GRIN guys, and I'm going to schedule a conference call with them. I had a good chat with them at Godan conference, and bring Genesis and the GRIN folks into the conversation about how to build the reciprocal links, as well as build some standards in the data workflow that we can recommend, or they can integrate in on from their end, or exchange some ideas. Okay. And is there anything else in Samara that's not there? So that's one more thing that I wanted to tell is this was Samara, but on the other hand, we are producing data in mass and redoing stuff, but still the bigger component that NSF wants us to see is the community engagement. How do we engage community in contributing to the annotations and working with us? So once again, we don't have the software developers, a second one who can do all those things. So I have contracted another person. It's a company then. It's in New York. I'll talk to you, Justin Elser, about it. What we want to do is create some editing data interfaces that plugs into the Amigo database, so that we can edit an existing entries at some level, depending on whether you're an administrator or manager or a user. And another aspect is to how to bring in bulk data by the community as well. So I think they have some strengths, so we should look forward to working with those groups. I know there is a Noctua tool developed by the Go Consortium, but it's good to my understanding, it is an excellent tool for the curator community. But if you are venturing into engaging the community from outside who do not know anything about ontologies and things like that, and what is the quickest way to get their input is to build some interesting editing interfaces layered on top of the existing Amigo views that we have. So that means some of the data would go in, provenance has to be tracked, and incremental updates have to happen. You cannot just wipe off and create the whole database from the beginning or from complete scratch. So we should be looking at those aspects with. We know we were discussing that question with Eugene Jang's group, but we'll see how it goes. But let's bring in San Mita. That's the company's name. And what we need is they want to have a look at our database schema and other documentation. So I'll be in touch with you, Justin, on that. Okay.
What was the name again of the company, Pankaj?
San Mita, S-A-N-M-I-T-A.
San Mita.
San Mita Inc.
And so this would be for people, when people come to the website and submit their own data?
Yeah, they should be registered users and then come and edit the existing annotations example. And once it's ready, my goal is that we can invite the various species level communities and manage their, depending on the level which we try to do that, they can act, our portal can actually work as a gene nomenclature portal as well. So they come and maintain their own gene nomenclature. And if those communities are interested in taking job as like gatekeepers of some gene families, they are responsible for updating the annotation and things like that for their community. Yeah. So that's my goal. And as a we do have some money as slotted in to bring in as freelance curators. We pay by the paper or pay by the number of entries they curate. And instead of having an in-house curator from that side. So, but we need an editing tool. They cannot keep on working using Excel and tab delimited files. They will not engage. But basically, you need to go through the some kind of an app development layer on top of the thing. So either API based or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It does, but there's some technical stuff. As it stands right now, it's not set up where we can edit the database in that type of way.
Yes. So I'm thinking about kind of creating some kind of a scratch space or something like that, or a duplicate or a mirror of that thing where things would run. So there are some technical things which we need to discuss, but let's get them engaged in the process.
Sounds interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Because NSF wants community engagement for the next round. It will be very hard. We cannot continue maintaining the ontology development happens, but we cannot invest heavily on that side. Okay?
Okay. I know for the annotations, we've kind of tried this before, though, right? And had trouble getting it to work in a reasonable way?
Let's talk about it in another call.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.